on our way home to glory. And that might set the devil's teeth on edge, but there ain't a thing he can do about it. We've, and I want to tell you something, folks, home's just about in sight. Home's just about in sight. And I'm looking forward to getting there. All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And when you find that, would you please stand in honor of God's Word. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, I want to start reading in verse 25. The Bible says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Brother Alvin, lead us to the throne, would you?
Father, once again, you see us gathered right here. Lord, we got our Bibles open. The preacher's read your word. This is what you said. God, I pray that you take the Holy Ghost of God and put the Word of God in our hearts. Lord, I pray you help Mr. Tommy. Lord, would you help him? Give him physical strength that he needs. Lord, give him spiritual power that he needs. Lord, I don't want to pray for him. I want to pray for me and everybody, the rest of us sitting here. Lord, open up our ears and open up our hearts. God, let me receive what you have for me tonight. I need something. Lord, I need that touch. And I pray, God, you do it to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for gathering us just like this. Help the preacher preach. And we'll thank you for what you do. Lord, we'll walk away and say, this is what Jesus did. For it's in his holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, God.
In the context of the passage that I read to you tonight, Jesus had went across the Sea of Galilee. He went from the place, the little city there called Tiberias, which is right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then straight across that sea is what's called Galilee of the Gentiles. And it's a pretty rugged, rocky place, pretty steep. And when you get in there and you start going by that place, there's holes and caves and all kinds of things in the sides of that mountain. And when Jesus got out, all of a sudden he met a man that was called the Maniac of Gadara. A man that was just wild in his mind and wild in his actions and untamable by any measure. He come tearing down through there screaming and hollering, yelling, and he assumed, like everybody else, they'd run for cover and jump back in wherever they was at or run down the road or just to get away from him. But until he came to this man who didn't run. And the Lord healed him, and you know the story about what happens. And the Lord gets back in the boat, and the man wants to go with him, but the Lord says no. He said, "Go and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee." And the man does that. And the Lord gets back in the boat, and he gets back on the Sea of Galilee, and they make a right-hand turn, and they go down towards the end of what the Sea of Galilee is to a little city called Magdala. And in this city of Magdala, there was a woman lived there who was called Mary Magdalene. And this was a place where the fishermen, like Peter and James and John, when they caught their fish, they brought their fish to Magdala. And there they would salt the fish down and preserve them and all that kind of stuff. And as Jesus got off the boat there and at the little dock right there at Magdala, and he began walking up the people, now you can see Magdala from Tiberias, and you can see the gathering land from right across the sea. It's not that far and it's not that big. But when this when Jesus got off the boat and he started walking down the dock there, all of a sudden people began to throng him. And people just began to just crowd in around him and press in around him. And there was a woman. And this woman was in a terrible, terrible condition. There's some things I want you to see about this woman tonight. I want you, first of all, to see the condition that she's in. This woman was diseased. She was diseased. I don't know what kind of a plague she had, but whatever it was, it had been working on her for many, many, many years. And not only that, but this woman had went and she was desperate for help. Every time she'd heard about some cure somewhere or another, she'd run off down there and try this cure, that cure, and nothing was ever working. Nothing was ever happening. Nothing was ever getting any better. Things got worse and worse and worse as time went on. You hear that all the time. You hear about people who get cancer and they hear about some miracle cure that's down in Mexico and they go down there and they try to find it. Or they find some miracle cure over some foreign third world country and they run over there and they spend all that they got trying to save their own lives. You know what? I mean, folks, if I was looking for a miracle cure and if I had to go to a country to find it, you know where I'd start looking? I'd start looking in Israel. How come that? Well, Jimmy Carter had terminal brain cancer. You know where he got his treatment and his cure? Right over there. That's where that happened. Been a lot of things been going over there. I saw a lot of things just about 2 weeks ago, and I saw a lot of things that opened my eyes to a lot of different things.
Amen.
I saw a lot of things that I'd read about and walked in places that I'd only read about and sat in places I'd only read about and fell on my face on cobblestones and prayed. That I'd only read about. But this woman was desperate. She was desperate. She was trying every single thing that she could try. Anything people mentioned to her. Any home remedy. Any doctor. Any physician. Any kind of treatment. She was trying. She was desperate to get some kind of cure because her condition grew worse and worse all the time. Because she was diseased and desperate, as I said, then she becomes destitute. You know, we got that problem today. You know, insurance companies ain't just going to keep treating the same thing right on and right on and right on. Aren't they stopping people from doing stuff? If you go to a nursing home or if you go to a rehab center, they only want to pay for so many days and you got to get out of there. You know what that does? That takes something people have worked for all their lives and depletes it and it's gone. And this woman had done exactly that. This woman was desperate to save her own life. She was tired of being sick and tired all the time. She was tired of having no energy. She was tired of having no help. She was tired of dreading to see daylight come and then wishing that nightfall would come and then wishing that daylight would come and then the day be over. And it was that continual cycle over and over and over again. This woman was, this was her condition. Then I want you to see the next thing about this. We want to see her cure. Here in the context of the passage here that I read to you, the Bible says here that that in verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus. When she heard, you know, there was a little short guy that had heard about Jesus.
Amen.
And he wanted to see, but he knew he was a sinner. And all the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the religious folks just rejected him and turned their back on him and treated him as an outcast and an outsider. But he'd heard about this man. He'd heard about a man who could make blind see. He'd heard about a man who was raising the dead. He'd heard about a man who was cleansing lepers. He'd heard about a man who was accepting sinners.
Hallelujah.
And he climbs up in a big sycamore tree.
Amen.
To see Jesus passed by this way, and this woman had heard. She had heard about him. And she came in the press behind him and touched his garment, and she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Why would she believe something like that? That seems a little, she hadn't been watching Benny Hinn, and she hadn't been watching Joel Osteen. She'd been hearing about things that had been going on that some people had been doing, and she'd been hearing about this man called Jesus over and over and over again. And it's not only, folks, the fact that she had heard about him, it was something she believed about him.
Amen.
Now, this is called a tallit. This is a prayer shawl that New Testament men in the time of Christ, these Jews wore. And this tallit has got all these things around, all these things. I want you to turn in your Bible here just for a minute, and I want to read to you Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And I want you to look at that passage tonight, because this is why this woman heard about him and sought him out. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall grow up as calves of the stall." That woman, she had heard about Jesus, and this tallit that these Jews wear, this is Hebrew, I can't remember what exactly that translates to, but a Jew would wear this thing like this. And everywhere he went, he carried this thing with him. And this is not as big a one as they have over there, not as big a one as people wear, but this is what it is. And when those Jews would pray, they would do like this. They would pull this thing up over their head, and they would cross their arms. And that was tabernacling with the Lord, is what they said. And this woman right here, she came, and she came behind, and she came to see Jesus. She had heard about Jesus, and she said this. She said, "If I can just touch his clothes." Now, why would she believe such a thing as that? It's because the Old Testament prophets had told her, "If I can but touch his clothes, if he's the Messiah, if he's the Redeemer, if he's the Savior of Israel, then I can get healed. If he's the Redeemer, if he's the Messiah, if he's the Deliverer, then no matter what happens, he can make me whole. I don't have to ask for it. I don't have to beg for it. I don't have to write a letter for it or send in a donation. All I got to do is touch him." How could she believe something like that? You know what these are called in Israel? These are called wings. The corners of this prayer cloth are called wings. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman was so weak and so frail that she absolutely had no strength. She couldn't push her way through. She couldn't beg her way through. All she did was she just reached that trembling hand through. And as the Lord passed by, here this wing came and just brushed her hand like that. And all of a sudden, boy, she felt something change inside of her. And she felt something happen inside of her. And she said, "I knew that was him. I knew he's the one. He's the one who, he's the only one who can heal like that."
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you something. That's what the cure. There's a lot of people tonight that they're brokenhearted. You know what the Lord said when he started out his ministry? He said, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to heal the sick." He said, "I've come to make the blind to see. I've come to make the lame to walk. I've come to cleanse the lepers. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor." It's because it's the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
Boy, that's what it was. And this woman had heard about that. She'd heard about that, and she knew, if he's real, if this is God's deliverer, all I have to do is touch his clothes. I want you to notice the next thing, folks, is we see a confession. The Bible says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Why, the disciples were absolutely astonished. "What are you talking about? These people here are just about to trample us underfoot. We can barely get through, and you're asking, 'Who touched me?'" And the Lord turned around and he said, "Somebody touched me. Power went out of me." And he turned around and looked. He already knew who it was. He already knew. He turned around and looked, and there she was. And that woman, I know she was just shaking and trembling from head to foot. And she, because she knew what had happened to her.
Amen.
She knew what had happened inside of her. And the Bible says she came trembling and fell down before the Lord and told Him all the truth. Well, I want to tell you, a lot of people won't get that far. Lord, just give me what I want. Just give me what I need. Just take care of this or take care of that. And the Lord said, then confess and tell me all the truth. No, Lord, let's not go into that can of worms. Boy, I want to tell you something, folks. These people, this woman right here, she began to confess and she began to call upon the Lord. She began to tell what had happened to her. And I guarantee you, she began, what did she say? Well, first of all, she was talking about, the scripture says, how did you hear about me? And she told about how she'd heard about Jesus. Well, what were you here for? Well, I come here so that because I knew if you were the Messiah, if you was the real thing, if you was the Holy One of Israel, nobody else could heal me, but you can heal me, Lord. You know what this Bible says, beloved? This Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a pretty simple thing to say, I've sinned. But that's not what the Scripture tells us to do. The Scripture says if we confess our sins. You know what I've learned in 32 years? I've learned in 32 years of being in the ministry how that if the reason a man drinks is because he's a drunkard. The reason the man takes dope is because he's a dope addict. The reason a man lies is because he's a liar. The reason a man commits adultery is because he's an adulterer. The reason a man does any kind of sin at all is because that's what he is. Jesus Christ said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what this woman wanted? This woman needed something. She was so desperate for help. She was so desperate for healing. She was willing to believe whatever the Word of God said. And boy, it came to pass. We want forgiveness. We want healing in our soul. We need help for our nation. Our nation won't turn back to God. I hope we've got a chance for our nation to turn back to God. We want our churches to have revival. We want to see us pastors. We want to see our people get spiritual and start getting hungry for God. We want to see all these things. And yet we won't just do the simple things God requires to give those things of us. This woman had known Malachi chapter 4 verse 2. She knew that if He was the real one, all she had to do was touch Him. And I'm going to tell you something. We want real revival. All we got to do is get it God's way. That's all we got to do is get it God's way. This woman had, Jesus requires confession. He requires it. You can't get by without it. People say, I know some folks who got saved here recently, and you know what they've never done yet? They've never stood up and confessed that Jesus Christ saved them from a devil's hell. And you know what I've seen happen to them? I've seen them stagger and stumble in their faith. They're not any less saved the night they got saved by the grace of God. But I want to tell you, they don't have any assurance. I know people, brother and sister, that they refuse to come to God because they're too ashamed or too embarrassed or too mad or too heartbroken or too injured or too hurt, and they just won't come to God. Boy, I want to tell you, Lee, there's no way that any of us can expect revival when we won't do it God's way. This was a simple, simple thing, and this was a simple thing that happened here. This woman, when she confessed, and Jesus rewarded her confession. Look at verse 34 here at what the Lord says. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be healed of thy plague. You know why? This is not a Joel Osteen moment. This is not an oral rip-off moment.
There you go.
This is not any of that bunch that does like that. Send us in $100 with your prayer request and we'll pray over it. They track that to that Tulsan guy or whoever he was out there in Texas. There's a news reporter decided he was going to track that down. And these prayer requests coming in with his checks and all that kind of stuff. They tracked it down. The people at the church was just zipping open the thing, depositing the check and throwing the prayer request out in the back of the trash can. The reporter went around there and found it. There was hundreds back there. Hundreds and hundreds. And this guy was telling everybody, we've got ink poison in our blood because we've just laid and wept over these prayer requests and begging God. That's not what this woman did. This woman just believed what God said. That's how simple it was. She believed what God said. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to believe what God says.
Yes, sir.
He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What did she believe in? She believed in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. She believed in what she had heard about the man who was healing the sick and raising the dead and causing the blind to see. I mean, look, folks, we're made out of dirt. When there was one blind man, the Lord went down and he was blind and he said, what do you want? He said, to see. So the Lord took him outside, spit on the ground, made a little slimy mud, and spread it across his eyes. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. He said, go wash in the pool. And when he went and washed in the pool, he washed and he was made whole. And he could see. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take you and me getting obedient to what God has said to do. We can't, you can't step around it. You're not going to be able to, there's no shortcuts. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians? He that striveth for the mastery is not crowned except he strive lawfully. You know what that means? There's no cheating.
Amen.
There's no shortcuts and there's no cheating. When this woman came, she came and she believed what God said. She touched his garment. She was made whole. When the Lord said, who touched me? She made a true confession.
Yes, sir.
When she did that, the Lord said, go in peace.
Amen.
You know, a lot of Christians don't have that tonight. They don't have that kind of peace. But this is her condition. This was her cure. This was her confession. And folks, this simple little thing right here, may say, how can that heal? It can't. It was a promise of God that healed. That's what God said. He said, when the Son of Righteousness shall arise, he shall have healing in his wings.
Amen.
And boy, he's the real deal.
Yes,
he's the real deal.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not going to find your peace. You're not going to find your hope. You're not going to find your help except in one. It's not a Baptist way. And I'm a Baptist. I'm a Bible believing Baptist. But I want to tell you, I've seen a lot of Baptists die and go to hell.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of Methodists die and go to hell. I've seen a lot of Church of God die and go to hell. I've seen a lot of Presbyterians die and go to hell. I've seen a lot of religious people die and go to hell. And you know why? Because they were trying to cut corners. They didn't want to do what God said to do. It's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
But they don't want to do that. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. That's exactly what happened to the Philippian jailer. He fell on his knees. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul told him he did that and his whole household got saved.
Amen.
But you know what they want to do? They want to step around. They don't want to address the needs. They don't want to address the issues as they are. Just don't want to deal with the truth. Boy, people in this day and age, I want to tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something that the devil's fooled a lot of people with. The devil's fooled a lot of people with thinking that it's going to be all right. You know what this book says? This book says that the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. The nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. You know what the book says? It book says, as it was in the days of Noah.
Right.
You get back in Genesis, and I read about Noah's days, and the context says that the earth was filled with violence. And then the Lord said, here's another sign, and when you see both these days happening at the same time, know that your redemption draweth nigh. And the other thing is that, as it was in the days of Lot. What is that? Nothing but homosexuality. You know what got the Corinthian church in such trouble? Their tolerance.
Amen.
Well, we're just going to pretend that ain't happening in our church. And bless God, they're putting money in the offering plate. So we're just going to, and we're tolerant. And bless God, everybody has their own ways to believe in them. Boy, I want to tell you, Paul had some pretty strong words for them. Folks, let me tell you something. I've seen some things over the last few weeks that makes me know. When I was over in Israel, we went to one place called the Temple Institute. And I didn't know exactly what it was. I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't exactly sure. And I go walking in there to this place, and we had to wait a pretty good while before we could get our turn to go through. And we go through, we go and we sit down in this little place, and a movie kind of plays on the screen. And it begins to show things about the first temple that Solomon built, and then the temple that Herod built, and how the temple had been destroyed, and all the different things about it. And then you go into another room, and all of a sudden, behind a glass case, I see two long silver trumpets. And the monitor began to read, these are two of the original trumpets that was found in debris the archaeologists unearthed that we are sure was used in Solomon's temple. And you know what the Jews did? They took those two silver trumpets and they started making a whole bunch more. And they started getting them all ready. And then I walk around and the light shines on another little boxed-in glass place. And you know what I see? I see a golden altar there. And that golden altar is a golden altar of incense. And it tells all about what the high priest was to offer there. And I go around just a little bit further. And I see a table of showbread. And it wasn't anything like I thought it was. I want to tell you, it wasn't for a little old loaf of bread like that. The loaves that they made to go on that table of showbread every day was 4.5 feet long, about 16 inches wide, and about 4 inches thick. And they had that right there behind that glass case. I walk around there a little further and I see this kind of ugly looking candelabra. And then I read on it, this is the cast for the candelabra that was made to go into the temple of the Lord. And that wasn't done back in Solomon's day. That was done about 5 years ago. I go around over here to another place and I see another glass case. And here's a garment. And it's a high priest garment. And then there's a Levitical priest garment. And Brother Al Sexton told me about 2 weeks ago, he said, Brother, he said a month and a half ago, he said they found the last jewel that's supposed to go in the breastplate of the high priest. Let me tell you something, folks. The trumpets are ready. The table of showbread is ready. The altar of incense is ready. The high priest garments are ready. The candelabra is ready. Everything is ready. And a man that Brother Ralph studied under, he's dead and gone now. But he said in 1967, after Israel took over Jerusalem, he said immediately, 2 days after the Six-Day War was done, when the Jews took over Jerusalem, they immediately began archaeological digs. And this old man was a young man then. And they were doing some of these digs. And you know what he told Ralph Sexton? He said, Brother Ralph, he said, I've seen the Ark of the Covenant. He said, when we were uncovering stuff, it was hidden. And he said, we found out that Hezekiah hid it. So what are you saying, preacher? Let me tell you what I'm saying. When this book says, when you see these things come, and when you see this done in Israel, he said, learn a parable of the fig tree. He said, when it buds and brings forth, you know that summer is nigh. We've got the days of Lot in our country. We've got the days of Noah in our country. We've got everything over in Israel that's prepared and ready. And the last thing that we saw in that Temple Institute, you know what it was? It was a film. And you know what it said? Our children are ready. You know what it showed? It showed the construction of a new temple. And it could be ready in less than 3 months. The Ark of the Covenant they already know where it is. They're not giving up the goods. The Smithsonian would probably demand that. It's theirs. They've got the table of showbread. They've got the altar of incense. They've got the silver trumpets that they are to blow. They've got the ram's horns that they are to blow. They've got the priest garments that are to blow. And look, folks, they've got men over there right now that's proven their Levitical heritage, and they're teaching them the sacrifices. I even saw a case where every knife that's used in the temple was on display. Then people look at me like calves looking in the new gate when you tell them, you better get ready, for behold, the Lord cometh. This woman right here, you know why this woman got healed? Because she believed. She believed. If I may but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And folks, I want to tell you, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. And the things that are going on right now, I saw a thing just the other day. We went to the northern border up there where Lebanon and Syria borders Israel, and you could throw a rock over there on the Syrian border this way, and you could throw a rock over there in the Lebanese border that way. And the ISIS was on the other side, on the Syrian side of the border, and they were trying to attack a bunch of Israeli soldiers right there. And you know what happened? There was a storm blew up. And there was a big wind started blowing. And all of a sudden, sand just picked up and it became a sandstorm. But the funny thing was, that old barbed wire fence that they used for their border, those Israeli soldiers were taking pictures on their phone, and that storm was right straight down that border line. And over here on Syria, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And over here in Israel, they were taking pictures and saying, look at that.
Amen.
Say, why is that? Behold, He cometh.
Amen.
Behold, He cometh.
Amen.
And every eye shall see. Behold, He cometh. Let me tell you something, folks. Our heartaches and our sorrows and our fears and our worries are about to be done. Our arguments with God, our arguments with the truth, our arguments with the church, everything's about to get finished and done. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're going to get ready, you better get ready now. Because when we get in front of Him, boy, that's not the place to ask for forgiveness. This is the place. And do you know why it's the place? Because He said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, He said, as you see the fig tree begin to blossom and grow, He said, you know that summer is nigh. Those Muslims over there, they've got that big dome of the rock. And it's built. It's not a Muslim mosque. It's just a shelter. But it's built over top of the foundation rock that's at the top of Mount Moriah. That was a rock where Abraham took Isaac and bound him and drew a knife and was about to kill him. That was the place where King David, when he went up, made sacrifice, and he bought it from Ornan the Jebusite. As we was looking around and walking around that great old big place, there was another spot over here that wasn't too well to do and it didn't look too impressive, but it had a little bitty dome over top of it. This Muslim security guy was just hovering around us just like flies, you know. And Brother Ralph was telling us about the archaeological things and this and that. And all of a sudden, the radio crackled on that guy's side and he goes off. Brother Ralph looks around like this and he said, come here real quick. He said, I need to tell you this. You know the reason for that little dome? Whenever those Muslims would walk across that ground, every time they walk across that one certain spot, they started getting the chills and they start getting afraid. And they noticed that every time they walked across that one spot, boy, there was something just got a hold of them. And so they said, boy, there must be something special about that spot. We better build something over it to keep people off of it because it could be dangerous. You know what that spot is? Brother and sister, that's a spot where the Ark of the Covenant sat in Solomon's temple. That's a place. It's called the Holy of Holies there on the Temple Mount. And let me tell you something, the presence of a holy God is still in that place and they're still feeling His touch. The presence of the holy God's here in this place too. You just need to come and feel the touch. Because it's a touch that matters. Let's all stand. Whoever your pianist is.